Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me, as always...
Hello, Tommy Dasilo. I'm Ben Vanell, and with us, as always, on the couch...
Hello, Tommy Dasilo. I'm Adam Knox, and with us, as always, on the chair...
It's Ben Vanell, and thanks for having me here, Noxie, and with us, as always, on the other chair.
Great to be here, boys. It's Tommy Dasilo, and I got to say, I'm looking forward to introducing someone who's joining us today from over on the couch.
Thank you. It's a crazy scene over here on the couch. Chaos on the streets of this couch. I've tried to fart into it without anyone finding out, and I'm hoping the air will stay trapped between my ass and the couch. No, that's not true. Well, I've never farted in my life.
It's your house, so you're allowed to do what you want.
Yeah.
Get ready for me to lose these pants.
Is this the first time we've recorded a pod at your... No, we did some the other week.
Yeah, we've done it before.
Yeah. Right. But people, because we just brought it up, we... didn't really make a big deal out of it, and then a lot of listeners fired up because for a long time it was a point of contention on the pod that we were absolutely not. We'd never been invited inside your house.
Well, it's
a different house now.
Yeah, yes.
And I think people thought it was strange that we would make such a big deal about it and then not comment on it when the day finally arrived.
The other one was very small, and it would not have been an appropriate.
Oh, sorry, boys.
God. Well. Calling in.
Tommy's getting a call from the jungle.
the call of the wild.
It was the guy that I do my other podcast with. Getting a bit jealous.
Wow. And you just decided to not pick up. That's going to go down well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'll fucking hear about this.
What do you reckon it's about?
Oh, fuck, who knows?
Probably it's about the other podcast.
Yeah. It's a fair chance.
We are recording in the midst of a very busy time.
Yeah.
And thanks to everyone who's come to our shows, by the way, especially to my solo stand-up show. I'm sorry about the state of my mental health at the moment.
We all are sorry about our own mental health. Yeah.
I'm just openly talking about mine in the show, which creates a great barrier that no one can have anything to say about it. You know what I mean? It's it's all in there, boys. It's all self-contained.
Mine is subtext.
See, I prefer to show, not tell.
I think mine is just all in the eyes. It's in the desperation in my face.
It's also in how hard I found it to play video games for some reason. I've tried to dip in and out of Sekiro a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is pissing me off.
Right.
It being so hard is... It's just not where I'm at.
Because last week you were loving it.
Yeah.
You were finding it the perfect antidote. But it is amazing what just one extra week of doing shows just really does wear you down.
And just not having had the time to play for a few days, it's very much one of those games where once you stop,
right,
you can't pop.
Right. Yes. You can't calm anymore because you haven't been playing Sekiro.
That's a separate issue. But
we're all very stressed.
Yeah, we're doing it again. We've had not criticism but comments in the past about how we just the episodes that we record during the comedy festival are the worst advertisement. For you know what, this time next year or in 11 months, 10 months even, when we're thinking about whether or not we'll all register shows, let's listen to this time capsule of mentally where we're at.
I've already written down notes not to do it next year. I am putting it on record now.
Uh-huh.
I am at the very least taking a year off next year from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yep.
And if I retract on that, then it's my decision. Get off my back.
Yeah, you probably have just changed your opinion on comedy.
I've figured something out. But no, it's fine.
It's fine. It's good. Yeah. I'm having a good time. But it is, I forget every year just how much it really does completely take over. Like, in getting ready for it, I always think, man, I'm so exhausted. I can't wait until the show's just started, and then I'm just doing it every night and my days are clear again, forgetting that it's never the case.
No.
Yeah, there's always, like, a million other things to do as well.
And it's weird how, like, one of the things I found very appealing about comedy before I knew what the fuck it actually was was that you're like, you work, like, an hour a day.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it really isn't that.
No. No, it's nonstop.
Anyway, goodbye.
But, but, yeah, thanks to the filth who've come down. I had a night the other night where I had a lot of names on the booking sheet that I realized recognized from the socials and stuff like that. Yeah, very nice. Very nice to see you guys comment on the Facebook page and stuff and say that you've been to the shows.
Yeah.
Very much appreciated.
That's, I think, the flip side of, like, the stress or the, you know, concern or the work that goes into the shows is people coming and laughing at them is the reason that we do it. And it is so nice that the filth are coming and having a good time and saying hi afterwards. I met Sam the other night who was the guy who did, like, the proof of concept of our Vice City live show poster. Which is very cool, a very fun idea. So thanks, Sam. And thanks to, everyone who's come and hasn't had a chat afterwards but has enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
Very much appreciate it.
Yep. I mean, it is – if when you're in comedy, you're always going to find something to complain about.
Sure.
But, like, then you realize,
most of all,
it's
these,
like,
goddamn airplane meals. Why they taste so weird. That's most of my show.
To be in a position where you do something like this that is, you know, popular to an extent, that then means that people are going to come and see you. It's like, well, I mean, we are in a better position than most, than certainly a lot of people in the festival.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's all good.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
We've taken being straight white men and made that somehow an appeal.
rather than a hindrance, yes.
Yes. I don't know about that still, but it's everything's all good, brother. Everything's free and easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got 10 free visits to a psychiatrist should I want to use them.
Do you really?
Well,
you haven't gone and got on the mental health plan yet.
No, never in my life.
Yeah, you should go do it.
Yeah, you get 10 free every year, right, I think?
Yes, you do.
Do it once every, 5 weeks?
Sure, yeah, spread them out, yeah.
Yeah.
Or once every day.
Are they free? Is it completely free? I think it's pretty heavily subsidized.
I've never really looked into it.
Yeah.
I think it's subsidized, yeah.
Mine are...
I would love to do that. It's like, it's something that I've always had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about. I've realized that, like, I've got a little bit of stigma in my head with it still about me, and I've never had it about anyone else. But for whatever reason, I've had, I think it's like my British upbringing, stiff upper lip.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But no, it is.
I think everyone has that feeling.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to take advantage of it.
Mm.
Try not to make the fucking therapist laugh.
It is pretty, I know what you're saying. Like, it is, it's like a confronting thing to make that call about yourself, to decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But in my experience, you get over that and then you just go the first time and then that bit of it's over and it's never there again.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, this is just great. This is just a thing that I do now.
Yeah.
It's partly almost the same nerves that I would get about, like, a first date or something.
For sure.
That,
my
instinct is like, don't do that. Don't talk to a new person for the first time.
Sure.
Especially not in a one-on-one setting.
Well, I've been going to classes at F45, which is a training gym thing, for just over a year now. And the first one I went to of that,
imagine,
I was like,
if you had a keyboard that was big enough that it had 45 F keys.
Oh. What would the function be? F45 was being an annoying fuckwit.
You got him. Brah, brah.
I mean, that's a good one, but 11 through to 44, there's some real passengers in there.
Oh, like, absolutely.
But the
F22 would get a fighter jet to come to your house.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. What are other numbers that do things?
You can tell that once you're in the middle of a comedy festival, your mind is firing on all cylinders.
It's firing on all cylinders, but just within your own hour. Like, the show that you're doing every night, you can come up with new things on the fly and make it better. Mm. Anything else is just way too big of an ask.
Please,
it's
your
not
own
happening.
28 minutes. Thank you very much.
Now, what if a keyboard went up to F70?
Oh, you could have a couple of interesting keys in there.
But the first time I went to that, I was really nervous because it felt like It felt like the first day of school, like walking into an environment where there's going to be all these people there that you don't know. A lot of people there have been doing it for a long time, so you feel like you're going to stick out. Mm. And it was that same thing. And walking to the first one that I went to, I almost just turned around and went home because I was like, I don't want to – this feels confronting because you get to a point in your life where you're not doing new things in that same way where you feel so out of your depth, which is such a common thing when you're a little kid. And then to sort of be in that position as an adult, it's like, that's right, this feels like shit. Mm. Yeah. I hate this. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable.
I would rather go to a restaurant I think is medium than try a new one that might be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great metaphor for mental health. A medium restaurant.
The fact that if I'm like, that I'm replacing my feelings with food, even in my analogies.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, it's a great system that we have in this country. Shout out to the mental health plan in Australia. Do other countries have stuff like a thing like that?
Yes. I think all of them but America do. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's a good
call. I mean healthcare, but specifically
for mental health. I think the NHS covers mental health stuff in the UK.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure though.
Because it is pretty recent here, to be fair.
Like I imagine Europe is pretty good about it. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know.
I should rewatch that Michael Moore doco, Sicko.
Oh, yeah.
Sicko mode.
Where he goes around to all the different countries to see who's got the best healthcare and really stick it to the United States.
Oh, we can find out where we should all move.
Yeah.
Whoever has the best mental health support. Yeah.
I think it was France was the place that he worked at had the best healthcare at the time.
They got the Eiffel Tower too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got croissants.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go see that shit pretty soon.
Dude, you're going to that Paris?
I'm going to go to Gay Paris.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. We'll probably...
You can meet a Ratatouille.
That's why I'm going.
I'm going to do the Ratatouille.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the Ratatouille reality tour and just hang out in the sewers. And
apparently there are a lot of rats in France. There are a lot of rats in every city.
Yeah.
Mostly here. Mm. Sneaky little rats around the comedy festival too. Sneaking about.
They're otherwise known as reviewers. Review for Jim Cox today. Very positive. Thank you very much.
Like the bloody snake in the grass festival, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Have you been having reviewers come?
No, we literally just had a review come out that we didn't organise. Someone just came and decided to write it.
Yeah.
And we've got a reviewer coming on Monday.
Where from?
From The Music.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is, that's fine. We didn't really seek out reviewers.
Yeah.
We just sort of said, okay.
I'm off it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I said no reviewers.
Yeah.
Let's review some video games.
Oh, boy. Okay. I started trying to play something last night that this is a great indication of where things are at. I can fucking barely remember what it's called. I do want to put some more time into it because it's a cool concept. It's called The Friends of Ringo. And then I forget his last name, but it's like a...
Star?
It's got to be Star.
It's the Friends of Ringo Star. Yeah.
And you play as Paul McCartney.
That's what Ringo called the Beatles.
Yeah, the Friends of Ringo. It's sort of based on that old game River City Ransom. It's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up thing, but with RPG elements and with story elements. And it's kind of open world, so you can kind of go around wherever you want. And it's like you play a bunch of... like a main guy and a little crew of little delinquent kids that are all like... training to be in the Yakuza or whatever.
Right.
And it's stylistically pretty good. It's, 8-bit NES sort of style, but it's got not kind of chiptune music, like actual sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It sounds similar to, what's that really popular YouTube video, the lo-fi hip-hop beats for studying or whatever it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that sort of style of music, which kind of works for the aesthetic and everything, but it's kind of billed as... an existential open world game where you're like going in and doing all this beat 'em up stuff, but then having to go to class and have these really like kind of low key. So yeah, sort of some Persona 5-y sort of elements because you have like on your stats screen, you can see your current grades at school. So you've got to kind of put time into like keeping them up and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then just walking around doing that very mindless old school beat 'em up style of just like punch, kick, punch, kick, punch, kick, where there's no real skill to it, but just fun and mindless. And yeah, it seems like It seems like it's got...
So you're spending your days at school and your nights getting into fights. What is this? A Frankston High School, the game? Is that what this is? Are you telling me about that product?
Well, I hope the 8% of the listeners that understand that reference had a good time just then.
I reckon if you understood it, you'd have enjoyed it less.
Let's, for our American listeners... what are you, the Bronx?
What's the Frankston of America?
Yeah. Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
You reckon?
Florida's always the one where they're like, it's crazy in Florida.
Chicago. Chicago's a rough city.
But that's rough in a different way.
Chi-town.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, anyway, it seems really interesting. I just, it just came out on Friday on the Switch and it's on Steam as well. I got it and I sat down. I was like, cool. Got home a bit early, had a bit of time. I was like, cool, I'm going to sink my teeth into this. And then within 5 minutes, I was like, I'm just going to put on The Sopranos instead. I can't handle this.
Yep.
It was like giving me like directions on the screen, like push this button to do this. I'm like, give it a fucking rest. I'm in no mood.
Don't you tell me what to do.
Well, that like over tutorializing at the start, Kat, like I remember I was pushed away from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because it front loads so much like is this that it just makes you go like, I can't be fucking bothered.
That then. Also went for like 6 hours in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, it kept going too. Yeah. I was at, I got it and had played a bit of it and then I went to Sydney like 3 weeks or so, I think, after it had come out. Mm. We were up there doing our live show and Angus Truscott, was friend of the show, was playing it a lot and I was staying at his house and he was like deep into it and I was watching him play it and he was getting tutorials still and he's like, he was just going, I'm like 10 hours in. if a game can survive without a mechanic in it for that long of the game, it doesn't need to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Or at least you can bring it in a little more of a natural fashion, maybe, like give you a new item and you're like, this is what this is or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just brought up these screens, halted everything and said, memorize this.
I know. Yeah.
And that is the worst Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro sequel.
Yep.
Memorize this.
Oh, okay.
It comes after Taxi Driver. Whatever.
But
so
yeah,
you haven't really played that much of Thingo.
No. I think I'll save it for bit of playing time. But you're absolutely right about Xenoblade 2. A great example of a game where half of it I loved. Like, I loved the world and the look of it.
It was so, like, weird and, like, a lot of really left-of-center character designs and stuff. Like, it
and
was...
the environments. Yeah. Like, walking out into these big sprawling fields. Like, I thought it looked great at what it was doing. But then the other half of it, it's like, I can't get it. And for a while, I was like, I guess I'll just kind of push through with the bits that don't really appeal to me because I love walking out onto those huge sprawling vistas and seeing all that. But
I love a vista.
I love a vista.
Yeah. Not a good Windows, but a good thing.
Yeah.
I think you've absolutely analysed that. The best sequel to...
But yeah, I've said this before, but I wish there was like more, I wish games had an option where it was like, you can just cut out half of what's in it. You know what I mean? Just go into, just turn that game into a thing where it's like, just run around the environments and just look at them and just do a bit of hack and slash gameplay, not this turn-based stuff.
Yep.
Would be great.
Yep. Mm. And the fucking jiggly tits in that. That was so over the top, the female characterization.
Right, I don't even remember.
There's that cop, was awful. There's that police lady pretty early on where it's like, that's right, I think we said this at the time, it's like...
The long nipples of the law.
The first couple of hours that you play it, every new female character that you meet has breasts larger than the one before to where it's like, I kind of want to keep playing this just to see where this ends up. Surely this has to... They'll reach a point of no return at some stage.
There's a character walking on screen 3 hours before they're introduced because like one of the planet things that you're on is just the characters.
Giant breasts.
The left breast was fighting with the factions on the right breast for millennia untold. I want to point out that we're recording this on the Sunday before it is released.
Yes. Yep.
So it is currently the 7th of April, and our release date will be the Thursday following, the 11th. Anyway, okay, so it's not the day after that.
Yes.
And it was only announced very recently, I think between the last time we've recorded, Nintendo Labo VR.
Mm,
is coming out.
Yeah,
I'm just having a look at some of it now. I didn't realize it was out that soon.
It was announced not that long ago. We talked about it a few weeks back.
Yeah, it's out Friday.
Is it this Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So I'm just having a look.
They announced it, but they didn't really show what it was.
No.
And then I don't think we've talked about this, that they brought out a trailer where they sort of actually showed what the little games in it are.
Mm.
So it's like, what is it? There's a shooting one. Well, there's just a goggles where you're just kind of looking around.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the box here. I don't actually know what these are, but I'm going to try and guess what each of the games are.
Okay.
So it looks like there's an elephant.
Yep.
And you are moving your trunk around.
Yep.
To like pick up apples, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Snickers bars. Guess.
Yes.
Snickers bars.
That's one of the great ads. Do you remember that ad?
No.
Where it's Rollo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck, that's right.
Yeah, it's a little kid and he's being a prick to the elephant. Yes. And then the elephant.
Like a circus or a parade.
And then it's years later, it's a grown ass man and the elephant like fucks him up.
Yeah.
Real good stuff.
And then it's like chocolate.
Yeah. How good are Rollos?
Elephants never forget, and also they're cunts.
Yeah, elephants never forget just means they hold a grudge.
Yeah, they never forgive or forget.
Also, shout out to the Rollo.
Yes.
What a chocolate.
I love it.
Oh, love a Rollo.
Elephants, if elephants don't forgive or forget, is every elephant a member of Anonymous?
Wow.
So you've got an elephant walking around with the white mask on, but just a huge nose extension
big
to fit
nose,
the trunk
enormous
in.
Enormous mustache part. With like a voice altered, instead of... It's like...
Right. Do you think that's what Tim Burton's got lined up for his Dumbo reboot?
Oh.
From the twisted imagination of Tim Burton.
This time.
What if Dumbo's
alt-right?
It'll definitely have those racist crows in this one as
well.
Oh, my
God. anyway.
So that's what that game is.
So Rollo Simulator is in the Nintendo Labo VR.
One where it looks like there's like a camera, some sort of camera thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Snap VR. Fuck, imagine that.
Do it, boys.
Yeah,
like,
please.
Honestly, I've seen so many people online say it. Which means that it will never happen because people want it to.
Yes.
But God damn, that would fucking rock. But the camera's just the straight up, because there's one that's just...
Because there's
a viewfinder.
Yeah.
It looks like a proper camera. And then there's one that's like a sniper scope.
Yeah. Whoa. That looks like an elephant's trunk.
Well, less than the elephant trunk one.
I saw footage of that one being played and that looks pretty cool. The shooting one.
Yeah.
Where it's just you've got a scope just right in front of you.
And then there's one that's like a goose.
Okay.
They're like holding a goose in front of their face. So I'm assuming that's like a flying
thing. I think that's
a
flight thing, yeah.
Right.
So the
famous flying bird, the goose.
The big thing, gooses can fly.
Oh, they can, but it's, I mean, I'd go eagle.
When I think
gooses
flying, eagle, I think swooping.
What a bunch of gooses we are.
Gooses.
A goose does a long distance.
Yeah, gooses do that.
Gooses, yeah.
Yeah, gooses. I know the word geese exists.
My favourite author was Dr. Goose.
Different gooses for different cooses.
Yes.
The big thing to my money that they announced.
And that's a phrase.
Was there's a separate Mario Odyssey game, or is it if you already have Mario Odyssey, then you can
I believe it's a little add-on for Mario.
Right, it's an update to
existing
Mario.
Yeah, Odyssey. Yeah. So April 25th, I think, there's going to be an update for Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild.
So Mario Odyssey is specifically built little tiny VR levels, Astrobot looking type of stuff.
Yes, yes.
Where
yes.
it's kind of a diorama level and you were running around them as Mario.
That's exactly what I thought as well. And it is very funny that it's like Astrobot comes out and gets the hype and it got said many times that it's the Mario 64 moment for VR. Mm. I just love the idea of Nintendo sitting there going, we'll fucking see about this.
Yeah.
And then Breath of the Wild is getting an update with just a flat out VR mode.
So you just play it in first person?
You just go into the... No, it's third person still. It's the same thing.
Oh, really?
You just go to the options menu and turn on VR.
Okay.
And it's just the same game.
But you can just look around in VR.
Which seems fucked.
Yeah, how does that work?
You have to hold this fucking Switch up to your face, I believe.
Mm.
So maybe they'll bring out a little stand, like the Virtual Boy or something like that.
I don't... Yeah, they haven't really said how it's going to work because, yeah, there isn't a strap for it. So it sort of seems as if you're going to be holding it in front of your face and then controlling it at the same time, which seems fucked. Also, the fact that the price point of this VR thing and... You know, the fact that it is being kind of put together as essentially a toy.
Yeah.
The Labo stuff is you know, aimed towards little kids. It's not going to be the most sophisticated piece of VR.
Well, so Zelda already runs at a bad frame rate.
Yeah.
And having that combined with VR might be awful.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how it works. It definitely, I mean, I think the fact that they've kind of wheeled it out and gone, oh, here's just a little... But here's just a little extra thing that we're going to chuck into these games for it as well. I don't think it's going to be the most impressive or immersive thing, but it does seem like it's just them sort of giving it a little test run of VR. If this, you know, these rumors of like a new souped up Switch being revealed at VR would sort of seem like they're kind of testing the waters to then maybe go a bit more fully fledged with it in the next iteration or whatever it is.
Cool. I guess so.
That makes sense with like the improved screen potentially. Mm. Yeah. That sort of fixes some of those issues.
And if you had like a proper headset you can slot the Switch into and go for it. Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's like selling it as like, hey, here's a little VR toy for your kids.
Mm. It's such
By the way, when they're done with it, you can play this little mission in Mario Odyssey rather than putting all your eggs in the basket of like, here it is, Nintendo VR. Like, it's kind of, I guess, a smart way of just sort of teasing it and testing it out.
As long as it's not bad.
I think it will be.
I don't think it'll be great.
It's like an afterthought that will be bad and you go like, huh, and then go, this is making me feel sick and my arms are tired.
Yeah.
And you stop.
Yeah.
So
I guess it'll be interesting to get the actual VR kit and then make them and then see what it's like, like what the quality of the little goggles is like will give a bit better indication of how it'll fare. Yeah. But I like the fact that I'm not as interested in playing Breath of the Wild all in VR, but I like that there's a couple of new Mario missions in there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's enough for me. Like, that seems fun.
Yeah, I think this is the first Labo I'm going to get.
Yes. Yeah.
$120 for the complete thing. That's not bad.
Yeah.
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 It comes with five little things and then just a normal one, a couple little games.
Yep.
Got your little goggles there.
Yes. Put them little goggles
what
on.
What more you want? What it's... more you want, lad? I can't do better than that.
Lad.
Nintendo Lado. Nintendo Lado. All right, boys.
Someone called me lad yesterday.
Yeah.
And you will you'll know who it is.
Okay. Lad. Or you want me to guess?
No, do you know?
Who called you lad?
Yeah, who would I have possibly had anything to do with yesterday who would have called me lad during the comedy festival?
Fucking...
It doesn't matter. You don't have to say the name. I just thought you would have known immediately.
Vinnie Jones.
No.
I'm not.
Can I guess? Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ah.
Yeah.
I genuinely have no idea, but also
Okay, someone at my venue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Big hair. Yeah.
The king. The king, of course.
The king, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, everybody.
Do you want to hear the list of stuff you get with the full package?
Yeah.
Sure. Toy-Con VR goggles, Toy-Con blaster, Toy-Con camera, Toy-Con elephant, Toy-Con bird.
Oh, so the VR has all that shit.
Yeah, this is the full pack. Right. Toy-Con wind pedal, which I think stick with coal. Mm-hmm. Parts and material.
Wind pedals cause cancer. So
software for use with VR kit. Mm. Cardboard sheet times 32.
Hell yes.
VR lens piece times 1. Reflective sheet times 1. Sponge sheet times 2. Smooth sheet times 1. Eyelet set grey times 6. Washer grey times 2. Eyelet set yellow times 11. Mm-hmm. Rubber band large times 1 plus spares. Rubber band small times 8 plus spares. That's heaps of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a really good time making the stuff for the one that I bought 6 months ago or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I think you really enjoy it. Like, sitting there and making shit out of cardboard is fun. It's very calming. Yeah. The way that the instructions like are on the cartridge. Mm-hmm. So you have them up on the TV and you kind of like scroll through them, and then you can, it shows you a little diagram on the screen, and you can rotate the camera around to see what you, it guides you through it really well. And just that hands-on, like sitting there, it takes ages. Like the fucking steering wheel thing that I made with the pedal took like 4 or 5 hours or something. It's a big project.
Okay, but I look forward to this.
It's
this
fun.
Be a fun.
It's like
day.
Put some put a podcast or some music on or something, and just that seeing it all come together is honestly, the game was fine, but I had way more. I just built it and went. I genuinely think I got my money's worth out of that, and now it just sits in the corner of my room, and I haven't really used it much. Cool. But it's fun. It's fun.
I'm curious to see, because like you guys think that the game, the Odyssey and the Breath of the Wild things will be not good.
I think the Odyssey thing might be okay. Yeah. I think it'll be small and like not that intricate. It looks like from it.
I don't necessarily think they won't be good. I'm just very cautious.
Right.
And there's no way I'm playing through Breath of the Wild again in that format of holding the fucking Switch up.
Yeah. Again, I don't really think, I don't know if they expect any. I think it's more just like,
wow.
It must have just been easy enough for them to just chuck in support for it. So it's like, oh, cool. I've just run around for 10 minutes and look around. That's interesting.
It's got
to
be just double it up and drop the resolution.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
So cool.
And if it's kind of 3D-ish or whatever, like it would be fun to do a bit of.
Maybe it'll be great. I'd love it if there was a little stand that just like felt cool to watch it like that.
Yeah.
I want to play that game again.
Running around in it again. If it was good, I'd start it again. And
Well, running around in it
out just in the save you've already got as well. It's just in the options menu.
Running around in it not so much, but I think it like be fun to like climb right up to one of those towers and then jump off it and just be looking around as you kind of sailing through the air.
Well, because the whole thing of like, oh, can VR games be in third person and everything? I really don't think it matters that much.
Yeah.
I think I'm quite happy to be a camera if it's set to move at the right speed and stuff, as long as it doesn't make you feel sick.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's all good.
Yeah. And maybe the fact that you are just kind of holding it in front of you will help with that sickness feeling a bit, because with the PS1, it's like right over your whole head. Mm. You really are kind of locked into it. Whereas with this, if you're just holding it, you can just, you know, you can just pull your eyes away for like a couple of seconds at a time.
Yeah, but that's not a solution. If to go like, you can bail out.
Sure. But it's, I can definitely see the thing of like, I don't know. It being less all-encompassing maybe helps with it a bit. Maybe helps it to feel a bit more casual or whatever. I don't know.
What else we got? Borderlands 3 is coming on the 13th of September. Mm-hmm. And on the PC, it is exclusive to the Epic Store for 6 months, I think. And people seem annoyed about this.
Yeah.
I think because you realize once it's not the one that you're already locked into, that any sort of digital store is a bit annoying. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. Other than the fact that I guess you've already got these friends and stuff already on Steam if you're on Steam.
I guess, because what Borderlands is like heavily co-op favored. Yeah. Well, fucking get over it.
I don't know. It like,
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't really. I haven't really followed that story, but sometimes the only answer is just, that's just how it is. Well, it's like they're making it. They can, it's just, why can't I get a Whopper at McDonald's?
You just can't.
This isn't like some of the other ones like Metro and whatever that had a bit of controversy because they were already on sale on Steam for a while.
Yeah.
This is being released and like is only available on the Epic Store to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's not that big of a deal to have two launcher things on your PC. It's the same machine you're using. But I can understand just like it is probably something if I was more invested in Steam, I would get a little anal about at the very least because like I want everything on the same list.
Yeah.
The same group of friends.
You're right. Once stuff starts to get and you might forget that you have it or whatever. Yeah. Like,
Because I've definitely had the thing of like, oh, this is free on the fucking Ubisoft store.
Yeah, whatever. Origin or whatever. Mm. Yeah.
It is a bit annoying, but it's also just the way that it's going
to
be.
It's better. Boring. It's better to have 7 competing stores than 1 monopoly.
Probably. Yeah. Like, and it's like a little less convenient is the only thing. But exactly.
We say that a lot about the kind of crossplay thing that's been happening a bit and for a long while kind of wondering what Microsoft are going to do. And it's like, it's good when everyone, there are multiple separate companies and they're all doing really well on their own grounds, it's great because then there's...
They're driving innovation.
Exactly.
And value, like they can't just jack the price up.
Yeah.
Despite Steam being, you know, pretty good for discounts, encouraging competition is good.
At some point, maybe it is bad that there'll be all these different stores and at some point... That will mean that they will shut down at different times.
A store for each game.
Well, it kind of isn't far off that. If you're like, how many fucking EA games are there that you want to play? So if you've got Origin on there for the EA stuff, it's pretty empty. So I don't know. I like digital ownership. I've been very vocal about not liking anyway. Just the way that it is now. And it's no different to something being exclusive to the PS4 or whatever. Yeah. Except for the fact that you literally don't have to buy anything else.
Yes.
You just install another program and you're good.
I might get an Xbox when I get home from overseas.
Maybe. I'd say wait. Because
maybe you won't though, Tommy. I think Adam has a good point.
No, because
he thinks you won't.
If you get an Xbox now, the new one will be coming out within a year.
Yeah, I hate to give this.
So either the price will drop massively.
Sure.
Or there will be a better option.
I hate to give this topic any oxygen, but April Fool's Day was recently. Easily the worst day on the calendar. Just an absolute shit cunt parade.
Someone literally said to us at our venue, but is happiest day of the year for comedians? We're like, what? Firstly, a day during the comedy festival that's the happiest day of the year for comedians? No. Secondly, what? And they're like, April Fool's Day. Like, oh no.
It's, the rise of all that social media has turned it into is just humorless, PR departments going, hey, let's mock something up.
Yeah.
Imagine if we did this. Because that's the thing. It's like, it's the whole origins of it is pranks.
Yeah.
But it's like just going, hey, this is happening. A fucking car for your dog. It's like, that's not a prank. It's just a Photoshop that no one in their right mind is going to fall for or believe.
Yes.
Anyway, so one of them was that I saw was a games website doing a fake announcement that the complete Rare collection was being released on Switch. And first of all, it's like, if you're going to do it, at least have someone half competent at Photoshop mock up the box. It was just like immediately like, well, this isn't real.
Right.
But that did get me thinking like, God damn, I would love to play all those. And then I was reading an article recently about it was some kind of anniversary of Conker's Bad Fur Day coming out on the 64. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just buy a cheap one when I get back from overseas and just get that. Just purely to get that, honestly.
Yeah.
Given that I think that's going to be the only way you're ever going to be able to play those games now.
Other than with a 64
and,
or whatever.
Yeah, an emulator or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I could get one for cheap enough. Yeah.
You could do. I reckon if you do it though, like within 6 months, you'll be able to get it for $100 cheaper or less. So.
Yeah, but then I've had 6 months extra of playing it, Adam.
Yeah.
Sure. And you can't put a price on that.
Yes. Yeah, I reckon about $100 is the. I would like say now is not the time to buy any console.
Yeah, that's
true.
Because there's revisions of the Switch. There's going to be new versions of Xboxes and PlayStations coming.
Yeah.
Just hope that your existing console doesn't clap out and die.
What do you think about this, Ben? I reckon I'm going to go in on Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
On the Switch.
All right.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think...
Oh, I don't know.
I'm interested to see what it's like to play for the first time in 2019.
It is the most typical of turn-based JRPGs.
Yeah.
And I know that you've sort of not been into that gameplay style.
Yeah, but I've come around.
You have
I've
come around
I've really
a
come around
lately.
To them, yeah.
It looks like shit.
It looks like shit, but...
But in a, like...
Because aesthetically, it's extremely strong.
But for those weird little characters in the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might put you off these days, but it's very hard to say because I have an attachment to it from the past too.
And, yeah, there's something about watching little clips of it and stuff that I... Even though the look of it's very dated, I do think there is still something kind of charming about it.
I think that could be enough because like the weird story and the weird little characters I think are so strong and charming and really pull you through. That's the reason that you play that game for, you know, like 60 hours or whatever.
And I feel like the turn-based nature of it is probably a bit of a protection against the 8, the very dated graphics and everything. Like,
yeah,
that stuff really matters if it's something where... So I think a lot of 64 games, for example, like, wouldn't hold up because they just are hard to control now.
Yeah,
whereas,
yeah, sure.
Turn-based thing, it's like, well, that doesn't matter. It's not going to affect the mechanics. It's not going to affect how you play it now.
Maybe the little, like, snowboarding sections and stuff. Well,
which were always shitty to control anyway.
Yes, right.
Chocobo riding.
But yeah, if you just go into it as, like, the story is what I'm interested in here. And, like, the combat mechanics are very simple. It's, you know, just, like, fire, ice, a bunch of elemental magic and, like, weird summons. Like, it's... I think the fact that you would have played similar stuff like Persona more recently that is more complex, it should be easy to just go back. Yeah.
In a handheld, if you played it mainly in handheld as well...
Well, that's the thing. I've got a lot of flying coming up and it's like, realistically, that's the only time I'm ever going to go in on it is having a lot of travel and having it portable.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's like, it's now or never.
Yeah.
Here's a little curveball into this as well.
Interesting.
I personally think that 9 is better.
Ooh.
Okay, here's a, I'm smacking this curveball out for a home run.
Okay.
How are you going to get at it though? It's curving, idiot.
I'm a good batter.
Take a swing.
Call me Babe Ruth. I went in on 9.
Yeah.
So I tried to play it when I was younger, but I didn't buy it. I think
how
I
young?
Borrow...
What age? And what year was this in?
Yeah, well, what year did it come out?
About 2000.
So I would have been
2001.
13, I was 14.
Wait. In 2000? I was 14. I was 14 in the year 2000.
Yeah, I was 13.
Okay.
I was 10, 11, 12. Yeah.
but I didn't play. So I didn't really play it.
Right.
Then.
Neither did I. I played it in the late 2000s or so.
Well,
or
I played
early
it
2010s.
For the first time about a month ago.
Yeah.
Couldn't get into it.
Right.
Just couldn't get into it at all.
So I'm jumping up really high in the air and catching the ball that you've just hit.
Okay, but I
and
now
I've
the
game
is
this.
No, now the ball is a flame because I've done a magic spell on it. It's a fireball.
I've got an ice glove.
Fuck.
So it's melted my ice glove, but luckily another team member has jumped up and grabbed it with a flame retardant glove.
Okay.
Boys, I'm in the stands eating a hot dog and I'm loving this. I've got my big foam hand on that says Adam on it.
9 is more of a traditional kind of JRPG thing, I think.
Right.
And it might be easier to get into if you've not gotten up to 7. A big thing about 7 was how much it turned all that stuff on its head.
Mm.
So I wonder if that wouldn't have the impact if you didn't have a little bit more. I don't know. I think they're both good.
Yeah.
And so is 8, which you can't.
Did you play 9 on the Switch?
No, the PlayStation 4.
Okay. Because so that came out recently on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like a month ago or something. And I think from all reports, it's a very bad port.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they ported the mobile version of it or something.
Something
about it. I remember reading, like, it's they've done a shit job of it. And then that was, and then that kind of got people going, like, oh, I think maybe the port of 7 will be really bad as well. But apparently, the port of 7 is very good.
Well, okay.
I think this might be wrong, but I think
Get ready to cut this out.
This might be wrong, but if you're a step sibling, you're not technically related. So
I mean, that's correct. you're not a blood relative, so.
I think the 7 ports have all been done from the PC version of 7, which was pretty much fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Except the music was a bit different and weird.
I think maybe it was slightly lower quality, but I've played it on PC.
Yeah.
And I've played it on PlayStation 4, and all those versions are essentially the same as the PS1 version.
And then, yeah, I don't think the version of 9 ever had a PC port, so they did the mobile one or whatever. So.
It certainly felt shitty to play on the PS4. The textures looked much worse somehow.
Okay.
It being a mobile game ported to the PS4 would make sense to me.
Yeah, if you like, maybe the best way to play them is to emulate the PS1 versions or something.
Yeah,
which you can do on a laptop pretty easily.
Really?
On your MacBook.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe that's
You can play. You can buy Final Fantasy VII on Steam and play it on your MacBook with a controller plugged in.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty close to having to buy a new MacBook. I hesitate to even bring this up because I'm using my laptop in my comedy festival show, so I don't want to jinx it. Yeah. But opening PowerPoint before my show the other night and the fucking rainbow wheel spinning for a good 5 minutes as I'm waiting to let people in, just like, Jesus Christ. It's not even that. It's Fuck. It's barely anything. It's not a it's not a PowerPoint presentation with like 100 slides or anything. There's 4 slides in it and it's just going, whoa, 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 what's Fuck. The rush, cowboy?
Fuck.
Yeah, just dreading it. Just dreading having to go in and – because mine's – it is a few years old, to be fair. Mm. But, you know, with the MacBooks now, they don't have any of the ports in them now. You've got to have that fucking stupid dongle thing that's got all the extra connectors for USB and stuff.
It's a bit weird. What else has happened? There's rumors that Watch Dogs 3 is going to be set in London.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I've always wanted there to be a game set in Melbourne. It's probably the most boring city to drive around in a game.
It's just, on
a,
oh, just hook just turns. Just doing hook turns would be pretty sick. Hook turn minigame challenge.
But a bit of London Watch Dogs, sure.
Yeah. Watch Dags.
What? You like Watch Dogs? Oh, Watch Dogs. I like Watch Dogs. Yeah. I like Watch Caravans more.
Isn't that where you go into a car park and watch people fuck in public?
Watch dogging. That's pretty funny. Yeah, it would be nice if they did proper good London with Watch Dogs shit.
Or just any of that sort of open worldy stuff if all those franchises kind of branched out of the – it feels like it's only one of about 2 or 3 sort of cities that they're based on or sort of aesthetically kind of the same.
Like Sleeping Dogs was in Hong Kong, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a bit different. I don't think –
and that was great. That was – that felt so like because of it, just such a different
–
even though it was a lot of all the same sort of stuff – it just had such a different flavor to it.
I don't think I've ever played an open world game that is set in an area that I've been to. Forza Horizon 4 has Edinburgh in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fucking cool as hell.
Yeah.
So
playing GTA 5 and it being set in or like a version of LA.
Yeah.
But really pretty closely modeled on the real LA.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to be like, oh, yeah, I'm in this part now. Like sort of knowing the vague layout was very cool.
It's sick.
Yeah.
So I'd love a London one because I've walked around London a bit and gone like, ah, not as good as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, I'm going soon. What should I do?
In London?
Yeah.
Steal a car?
Hack into the traffic lights.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or like the it's like touristy, but like the park and stuff around the big Queen Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
It's sick. Where Brian May lives.
I asked someone who lives there the other day, who's lived there for a long time, what's some, you know, give me some insider tips. And he recommended Brick Lane.
Yeah, Brick Lane.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like being in Melbourne and going, you got to go to Lygon Street. It's hardly an insider's tip.
No, but like Shoreditch and around there is nice.
Yeah, true.
There's a pizza place that I can't remember the name of that I went to, but I'll remember it and tell you it.
That would be great. I'd really appreciate
Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
It's called Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Pizza Hut.
Quick plug also for me doing my solo show there on May the 5th, I think.
Oh, yeah.
May the 5th be with you.
The Monday of the bank holiday, whatever that is, at the Bill Murray. You can Google that. Mm. Quite a few filth already bought tickets. Looking forward to seeing all you guys there.
Ooh, in Crystal Palace, there's these concrete dinosaurs that they built before they knew what dinosaurs looked like.
Great.
They're pretty funny.
Oh.
There's a place just like south of Crystal Palace that I went to and it was nice around there.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking.
You're starting to sound like you've literally never spent. Like if I found out you were making this all up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's the statues of before dinosaurs, but they didn't know what the dinosaurs looked like.
I don't know. I'm bad. Whenever I go somewhere, like I can never go like, oh, yeah, go do this because I like have such a bad memory and sense of geography in a place I haven't been to for like I haven't spent 10 plus years in.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm a big one for just kind of ambling around and going, "Oh, this place looks cool.
I'll eat here,
I guess." Like I don't ever really do things that are that translatable to being able to say
I don't remember the names of suburbs and shit. Like even here I struggle to remember
what areas are called. I'm like I remember everything.
Right.
I write it down, like I note stuff down.
Yeah.
If someone's like, "Oh, I'm coming to Melbourne." I'm like, I got a fucking spreadsheet for you.
Yeah, I do want to get better at that. I'm sick of feeling like an idiot when someone goes, "Oh, I'm going here. You've been there a lot. What should I do?" I'm like, I don't know. Just fucking go for a walk.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also part of the advice is like, go get off this train station because it's a nice area, and then go for a walk.
When I met you in Japan, and we
I'm looking at a map of London now. Okay. To remember what to do. Going to like the Tower of London bit and Tower Bridge and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And seeing things that it's like, ah, this is from that movie.
Oh, okay.
It's right. Cool. And then you walk along the like South Shore and there's like some bars and stuff.
Yeah.
Any
video games there?
Watch Dogs 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just a rumor. That's not confirmed.
Watch Dogs 3? Yeah, I think that's just a rumor.
Interesting.
Yeah. Liverpool Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember any of this.
I really am doubting that you've ever been there at this point.
I didn't really do that much when I was there.
Yeah.
We like... Oh, the fucking... the British Museum.
Okay.
That's there. It has like all the sarcophaguses and stuff.
Sarcophagi.
Yeah, sarcophagi.
I will not.
There was a thing that I saw just before we started recording.
Yes. And just also, sorry, when you're riding the tube, listen to all the names of the places because they're hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Now arriving at Wapping.
That's good.
Fuck off, you funny train.
You get off at Wapping to suck off a guy.
Yeah. I was watching a thing just before we started recording on IGN of there was a CinemaCon or something like that, and they showed a little bit of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And man, honestly, I can't wait.
Mm.
Like it's like they're just retelling stuff that they saw in this screening and putting no extra sauce on it.
Yeah,
like, literally just retelling it, and it's some of the funniest shit I've heard. You know what? Should we sizzle this? We're going to try and do an ep with in the next couple of weeks with Cam James and Alexi, who are in town. I was talking to Cam today going, God, it's a shame that there's not, like, the Sonic movie isn't out already. Or because when we did Rampage last year, that was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, if that, what a godsend that would be if that movie was out, like, next week or something. Like, I can't wait. I honestly can't wait.
I wish it would come out a little faster. The description at the start of that movie being a cop arrests Sonic for going too far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And then describing Jim.
It's not illegal to run quick. There's no reason. It's just, he's not a car.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have not. He's pointing a radar gun at Sonic and Sonic's going too quick.
Yeah.
Tough.
They don't arrest Usain Bolt.
No. Like technically he's jaywalking if he's on the road, but that's it.
There's a bit where apparently the cop, James Marsden, follows Sonic into a shed where Sonic's hiding, and then James Marsden uncovers him and Sonic goes, meow.
Mm.
Just great shit. This is within the first like 3 minutes of the film by
apparently,
the sounds of it.
There's a Fitbit joke.
There's a Sonic hiding in a gym bag to be snuck into a building.
Yes.
And he says that in the gym bag it smells like Rite Aid and an old ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. Just great shit.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey as Robotnik.
Oh, boy.
With just like a waxed handlebar moustache and then just all in black.
Mm.
Taking a leaf out of the Mario Brothers movie playbook of like, don't really worry about having the characters look in any way like what they do in the games.
No.
Just have one vague element and then just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's not until like November or something, right? Yeah. Or July, or is it?
Is it that late? I thought it was sooner.
I think you're right. I think it's late this year.
I just guessed two different months.
Detective Pikachu's pretty soon. That's in like May.
Yes. Soon.
That'll be good.
That I'm actually looking forward to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that detective be a little bit cute.
We'll talk about it, but it is going to be when I'm away, which I think the plan is we'll record over Skype while I'm gone.
Yeah.
Which will mean me quite possibly having to see it in a non-English speaking country.
Yes. Yes.
Which, look, okay, I'll say this now. I will do. If I can't find an English session of it, I will just go and see it in Italian. Like non-subtitled.
Yes.
Just sitting there confused. That could actually be pretty cool.
What does send your mind mean?
Just me trying to piece together what I thought happened, and then you guys can relay to me how right or wrong I was.
Okay, yeah. I'm into that.
Done deal.
That'll be fun.
In the meantime, there's no games out for a couple more weeks as well. Days Gone is in like a couple weeks.
Right.
That's sort of Mortal Kombat as well. I'm going to play both of them.
Yes.
Well, we might have gotten a chance to do a little bit of the Labo shit by the next time we record.
Yeah,
we'll record next Sunday
week.
And that's out Friday.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll hopefully be able to do, I don't know how much time I'll have, but maybe I'll have been able to do a little bit of it.
Maybe So that's out this coming Friday.
This Friday the 12th. Yeah.
Maybe that's my Saturday.
This Friday. Yeah. These Fridays.
Either way, other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to mine and Ben's podcast, Aria yes. Talking to Me. The new season of Game of Thrones starts the Monday after you're hearing this. And like we've recorded an episode about every episode up until then.
Yes.
And we'll be recording those new fucking episodes the night that they happen in this country.
That's it.
And
so if you've had to listen to shitty American podcasts covering Game of Thrones up until now,
you'll listen to a shitty Australian one.
Are there many American ones that do it?
A million.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That go ep by ep?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So. Yeah. I've listened to a few back, you know, as just a watcher.
Mm.
But yeah, if you want to like watch along with us from now on, you can.
There's six left.
Yeah.
So now's the time. If not now, then never.
Hey, if you just want to do us a favor, you only have to do it six times.
Weekly, yeah. On a schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our comedy festival shows are all on until the 21st of April. If you're in Melbourne, look them up on comedyfestival.com.au.
If you're not in Melbourne, come to Melbourne.
Mm.
You've got to fly.
Yes.
Got to fly fast.
That's it.
The YouTube channel where we're playing through A Way Out currently. We're about to record a couple more of them. Mm. But yeah, they've been going really well. Lots of great feedback on that. We're really enjoying doing them. You can subscribe to us on Patreon, and for $10 a month, you get a bonus episode every week where we talk about all sorts of other stuff. We dick around.
This week, I'm going to be talking about a World War II documentary I've been watching. That's my intention at the least.
Okay.
And let me say, it's changed some of my opinions.
I wonder which side produced the documentary.
I'm planning a trip to see my grandfather in South America. That's all I'm going to say.
Filthycasuals.com.au for links to all of that stuff and the socials where you can get in touch with us and all that sort of biz. Mm-hmm. Guys, thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Meow. Good. I reckon that's actually a good line. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.